Blog Talk Radio.
Sure I am that this day, now, we are the masters of our fate. That the task which has been set us is not above our strength. That its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not all the tidings will be evil. On the contrary, mighty strokes of war have already been dealt against the enemy. Wounds have been inflicted, which have bitten deep and will fester and inflame. What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? Here we are, together, facing a group of mighty foes who seek our ruin. Here we are, together, defending all that to free men is dear. If we had taken common measures for our safety, this renewal of the curse need never have fallen upon us. Do we not owe it to ourselves, to our children, to tormented mankind, to make sure that these catastrophes do not engulf us? It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
And the boys are back in town. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. This afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my wingman for this afternoon, Smokey. TX, a good friend and it's been a great, it was great here last Sunday, but we had a great show last week, didn't we, Smokey? So without further ado, I want to welcome you there, brother. Hope you're well, Smokey. How are you today?
Doing very well, very well. Yes, I believe we did have a pretty good show last week. I want to say good morning to those people listening on this side of the ocean, because right now it's 9 o'clock where I live, 9 a.m.
Yeah, it's very early.
Where our friend Gary is listening to. He's a couple hours behind me. So
yes,
I know.
I know. I see him in the chat room there. Good to see you, Gary. Gary Kemp, that is, as I say, he's I think he's based in Canada, if I remember rightly. I think you are based in Canada, not that too far from Kel. So there you go, but it's good to see you gentlemen up really early today. And as you can hear, my the executive producer's a bit noisy, like she was last week. Anyway,
she does love the Texas accent.
Yeah, you know, it's like she just wants to be a part of the show, you know. As I say, it's good to have you back, my wingman, this afternoon. And I've got to admit, sort of Smokey, the show that we had last week, this week, I'm going to keep the show a little bit short this week. I hope you don't mind. Smokey, as I've still got a few breathing issues, I need to get some medication for. So, if I go too long talking, I'll start to. Well, let's not go in there. People don't hear medical issues on the radio show, do they? But, just to let you know, Smokey, we've not too far away now at the Telford National Demonstration. That's going to be on the 12th of May. We discussed it last week, the cover-ups, what's been going on in Telford. It's been going on, believe it or not, Brian. You will not believe how long this has been going on. Estimated at 40 years. That is astounding that they tried to cover this evilness that was going on in Telford. But this is what they try to do all the time, though. Right away across this country, we've often spoke about the issues, haven't we? I do believe that, personally speaking, Brian, I hope you don't mind me calling you Brian. I won't give out your other name or anything like that. Smokey, buddy. But I do believe that we're coming to a stage now where the people have got to take control of what's going on in this country. There's too many traitors within. Too many traitors within. Basically, in the end, you've got to do what's the right thing for the people of your country and your children and your grandchildren. And we heard the... I mean, and you've got this story with a little Alfie Evans, what was going on with that little baby. I just want you to, you have heard all about it. I mean, because I saw Fox News was covering it, and they was really disgusted with the situation. So I don't know what you've heard of what radio shows have been speaking about it, but Fox News was talking about it this week on a couple of occasions, buddy, so... It proves that this story has really gone viral across the globe, buddy.
Well, yeah, my timeline on Facebook and on Twitter is just full of that story. And this isn't the first time. It happened with Charlie Gard. This is just what happens with socialized medicine, that they want to give the women the right to kill their unborn child. But when they want to, after the child is born, and they want to do something to help him, to keep him alive, they refuse. They deny the person, the woman, and the father, the right to help their kid. It's disgusting.
Well, I mean, I hope you don't mind that, because I don't want to take any thoughts away. But But what comes to mind is this: our children are not our children. You see, when children are born in this country, Smokey, you've got to register your baby within a few days. And as soon as you register that baby, he's got an insurance number, well, whatever it is, he becomes a part of the system. So when this sort of situation arises, what they're really saying is, we are going to take charge, and we're going to take it away from you. I know you give birth to the children, but we, the state, think it's our legal rights to take control of the situation, whether your child lives or dies. This is something, and I don't know how you've been thinking about this, Smokey, and a lot of other people, but when the state has taken control this of your own children, and we know it's been going on for quite a while, Smokey, it's just some of these cases have really highlighted the situation. I think this is time when people need to take control of what's going on. When you have a child, your child is your child. It doesn't belong to the state. It was you and your wife that gave birth to a wonderful little boy or a little girl. It not belongs to the state, but the way they look at it, that they are the powers be, Smokey. They are all the power. And to me, it stinks of tyranny, doesn't it, Smokey? Do you get that? It's tyranny.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody who ran for president, I will not mention her name here, in her book, It Takes a Village, she said it takes a village to educate, to train, and all this stuff, and all the parents are to do is to keep them fed. You know, that's their task. This, the village, which is the state. I mean, and that is totally wrong. They're our kids. They're not. They don't belong to anybody but their family. And
this is right. Your children's your children. Oh, sorry, Smokey. Let me talk over.
Oh,
go on,
okay.
Buddy. Sorry.
No, it's just that for anyone to believe that the government of any kind, I don't care if it's, you know, UK, England, Canada, any of them, that their rights for that child are any more lawful than the rights of the parents to that child. It's just asinine. I don't see how anybody could agree to that type of an arrangement. And I know I don't. I know you don't. I don't know if everybody in the chat room doesn't agree to that. And you see the responses across the social media. You know, most of the people don't agree to that. It's just crazy to think that the people would allow a government. Okay, well, we're going to allow your baby to die. We're going to save this one over here. We're going to allow that one to die. It's just that. It's just not the way a heartfelt government or anybody should work. It's crazy. I can't say.
Well, that child. I mean, give the child. You know, Smokey. I looked at it like this. I didn't say too much what was going on at the time because there was a lot of upset people. There was Alfie's army, things like that from Liverpool. You know, a lot of people was really up in arms about. So I was keeping my thoughts to myself. But I thought, well, when it comes to time, like we've spoke about these things before, to come onto the radio show and to speak about the plight of his poor family, the way his family was treated, having to sleep on the floor and things like that. That was disgraceful. But, you know, in the end, I mean, Italy had made him a citizen. The Pope was involved in it and many other people. Why didn't this government at least give the family of that little Alfie a chance to do what's right, at least a fighting chance to take him to Italy, you know, whatever? Because, Smokey, you're probably the same as me. If it was my child, you'd walk to the ends of this earth to try to help your little son, wouldn't you, or your little daughter. Any of us would,
yes,
wouldn't we, buddy? But to have it taken away.
Our main driving life is to take care of our kids. And then for the government to refuse these parents the right to do that is just it's heartbreaking.
Well, it's disgusting.
And
it's disgusting. We've got to put stops to it. Just to let you know, Smokey Brother, we've got a few people in the chat room today. We've got our very own Bob Evers. Always good to see you, Bob. A great gentleman there. And as you say, we've got Gary Kemp here. Gary, it's always a blessing to see you, brother. Guess who's here? Guess who's here, Smokey?
Hell yeah.
We have got Tell, the great Red Fox, who's joining us this afternoon in the chat room as well. So good to have you here, Kel, as well. But yeah, I've been really pondering what's going on, and hear that little Alfie passed away. It was very, very sad and very moving, you know. And of course, the gentleman, I don't know what had been going on previously, the day before, whatever, but he told people to stand down. You know, he had this discussion. His whole tone had changed, and today I still can't make out what was said to him to actually change his whole statement of what he's been talking about, fighting for his son, you know. But I'm sure as the time goes by, we will probably find out a little bit more of the reason why he made that statement, Smokey. But anyway, that is something I wanted to sort of speak to you about this afternoon. Bob Evers said, tell Smokey there were 2,000 tigers in cages in Texas. That's what he just said to me, to tell you. I don't know, it's about 2,000 tigers in cages in Texas.
I can't imagine there'd be that. We do have some zoos and some, compounds where they take them from zoo or from circuses and stuff. So there's quite a few.
Ah.
I've seen them.
Yeah,
there's a wildlife sanctuary here close to our house that's got a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think because I remember probably same as yourself, Smokey, when I was very young, let's go back now, when I was really young, but we remember circuses being very popular in the day, didn't
yep.
we? But we, at the time, we didn't realise of inhumanity, cruelty to animals that was going on. We just thought the animals was looked after well. We didn't realise that that some of the trainers was quite cruel to them animals. In the end, I think that's one of the reasons why it was outlawed. But Smokey, you must remember. I remember, as circuses as a kid. I remember going to a circus actually when I lived in London. It was a long time ago. But after a while, of course, in them days, don't you forget the old trapeze things? You get guys on a trapeze high up in the air. They made a film about it, didn't they, years ago? Trapeze, it was called. I can't remember who it was in. Was it Kirk Douglas or someone like that? And Tony Curtis and Kirk Douglas. Trapeze, that was... I'm taking you down the halls of time there, Smokey, but... So I remember things like that back in the day, but anyway, Smokey, so how are you today? How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. We had a long, we took our grandson out to visit my wife's parents this yesterday, so we had a long visit. So
oh, lovely.
Kind of wore us out, but we were, it was a great visit. Every time I'm around Zeke, I'm happy. So,
no
matter what the circumstance.
It's what it's all about, isn't it, Smokey?
Yes.
What it's all about.
That's
you
I
know,
mean, I doubled
my
efforts just because of Zeke. He got me to quit smoking. After 20-something years of smoking, I quit smoking pretty close to the day he was born, and I haven't smoked since.
Wow.
So I give him all. He is the whole impetus behind all that, and I can't say enough about quitting smoking. This is awesome. It was easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a great little story you shared with the listeners out there. You know, that before your grandson was born, that you quit smoking. It must have been some things behind it for you to quit like that. Been a smoker for so many years, Smokey. No wonder you got that name, Smokey. I'll get it now.
Yep.
An ex-Smokey.
Yep, ex-Smokey, that's me. I'm going to put Texas in front of Smokey now.
Well, there you go. I got to admit, I did go on to vaping, but I was just a bit too old for it now. I've just reverted back to rolling my own again. Smokey, what am I like? Terrible way. But I've still got me vaping device, though, you know. Just trying to see, there's a few things. Okay. Just bear with me a minute. I'm just going to get a story up that I want to read today. But it's good to see our friends in the chat room there. So it's good to see you all. And you just bear with me, guys, while I've just come to a story that, if I can find it, you know. I'm terrible sometimes. Just bear with me. I'll be with you in a second. But talk amongst yourself, Smokey, while I'm...
Isn't it? You were talking about Telford and how long that they've been kind of covering up this this rape epidemic that's going on, you know, not only in Telford, but across, you know, any country where these people have infested. And in America, we have, you know, our government has released a report talking about how the crimes committed by the Muslims and Islam in the name of Islam. And there's groups of people that are trying to block this report. They don't want it out in public. They're trying to sue to block it. So, you know, it's going on here too, but it's just, you know, I just posted it in chat again, but it is, you know, this is another thing that both our countries have in common. And, you know, we're not, I don't think we're at the same stage that the UK is in, or even Canada, where they're the law that this shiny pony that they call that's called the prime minister in Canada does. But you know, we're not at that stage, but it's getting there quick, because, you know, like your country, we can't come right out and say facts about what's happening, or we'll get arrested. But meanwhile, those guys walk the streets. So it is. It's just, you know, it's happening here too now.
You know, where we've got, like, freedom of speech, blasphemy laws have been brought in, unbeknown to us in this country. They're trying to do the same in the United States. I can't remember what section they were trying to bring in to stop you speaking about Islam, but was it 2013? I can't remember now, Smokey, what it was called. There was so much talk about it because... how this would limit your freedom of speech, and how you know, number one on the charter was protecting freedom of speech. So at least you got that. Unfortunately, we haven't got that. We need to have something like what you got, buddy. You know, that's what we need over here, because it's slowly but surely freedom of speech. Once again, we're going to be seen to happen to come to the forefront and to fight for it again. It seems all of a sudden there's a circle, you know, where people who have laid their lives down to protect freedoms, liberty, and, you know, for all. And it's under attack again by this Marxist, leftist idiots out there, isn't it? But we will fight for it. There's no doubt about it. We especially over here, we've got no choice. we've got politicians who turn their backs on over a million girls and boys across this country. Over a million. With this rape jihad, which they're trying to cover up left, right, centre, and that's why we, the EDL has been exposing it for 9 years now, exposing it, putting it up and highlighting it, going to the towns, going to cities where this is going on. And you know what we've had to put up with through all these years, you know, the abuse, you know, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're an Islamophobe, you're an arachnophobe. Well, okay, I might be an arachnophobe because I'm absolutely fearful of spiders. That's a true statement. But we've had to put up with it. But we're still here. We are still here. We'll continue to be all the time this is going on. And it is coming now very close to a tipping point in this country. And I've been saying this for a while, but you can feel it now. You've only got to have a chat to a few people. Guarantee it's brought up by people what's going on. You know, especially now with little Alfie, what's happened to Alfie, with your children are not, they don't belong to you, they belong to the state, you know, and things like that. And that shows you how bad things really are. It was a charade that was going on for many years, was a charade over in this country. But now it's been opened up like a can of worms, isn't it, Smoke?
Yeah, you know, once you lose these rights, they're not coming back. They're gone forever. And I salute all, you know, the English Defense League brothers and sisters and anybody else up over there that's standing up, you know, for these rights. I mean, now you got them. People are waking up because of Alfie. I mean, whatever wakes them up and gets them out on the street is a terrible act that happened. But for these people to be waking up is a great thing, because we need everybody awake. We can't have, you know, God forbid that we end up having to go to fight these people to get our rights back,
yeah,
get our country back. But, you know, the way our government
well, it seems that we are being pushed into that position over here, and we all know what that entails when you,
yep,
have to fight for your freedoms and that, and what that entails of, of upheaval across your towns and your cities. And we've always looking in on other cities that's gone through basically a so-called revolution or civil war, and we know what it entails. And none of us talk, you know, it's not a thing that any of us would relish. But when it comes down to it, in the end, when it's about survival of your children and your grandchildren and for the future, I think it's worth the sacrifice, because that's what it will take, sacrifice of patriots to do what's right. But you know it's building, though, and I hope, I just hope that all this back talking, talk, it's the only way. We've done this for years, haven't we, Smoke? Especially in this country. You know, we've always been talking, but just things get done. I remember when I first started doing this radio show 6 years ago, and I look back, and I remember saying something then, and exactly the same thing is happening now. So what has changed? Yes, we have highlighted it. We have pulled people to task. We have made some of these politicians listen to what we say. But unfortunately, it's still going on. So in the end,
yep,
how much more talking must we be afforded before we take a bit of pre-action? You know what I mean there, Smoke.
When you know, over here, when our politician, when any politician brings up the subject of Islam, it doesn't matter in what context he brings it up. If he's just asking for opinions, they are treated like pariah. They are the big, you know, Islamophobe, quote, because that term, that is a made up term. Those people don't exist. I don't know anybody that's scared of Islam. We're just telling the truth about Islam. We're not scared of it. We're ready to fight it if we have to, but we're not scared of it.
Yeah.
the term Islamophobe is so fake, and it's just some way, some word that they made up to trying to call us racist for that. And it's not a race either. There's a, it's a religion. It's a government type. It is anything but what they say it is. It's totally the opposite. When they say it's a religion of peace, show me where it's peaceful anywhere on this, on the face of the earth. It's not. None of the countries where it's the majority are peaceful. None of them. So, I mean, everything they say about it is totally the opposite.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. You know, it's a it is a charade, really. I mean, it's no such thing as a religion of, they call it a religion of peace. There's nothing peaceful about this cult. It's a satanic death cult. You know, I mean, I've been studying it for many years before I even, you know, become part of the English Defence League. You know, many years, I suppose 20 years or so now. You know, I've been looking into this, and it all just comes down to that what prime ministers have said before, what famous presidents have said before, when they hold the book up and say, all the time this book exists, there will not be peace in the world. This was said by quite a few people, very famous people of the times. Jefferson had said it. I mean,
because Thomas Jefferson created the Marines because of Islam.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, for over 200 years, we've had Marines because of Islam.
Leather jackets, leather necks, something or other. When they
yep.
the first, yeah, I knew something like that.
We've known about it for that long, but you know, for some reason, they believe that book has changed in 250 years, which it's not. They're more steadfastly adhering to that book today than they have ever had before. So, it is you know, people that just refuse to look at that book. You know, they tell us that we're looking at it out of context. Well, that's crap. I know people that speak Arabic, and they have written, transcribed that book. And it is, you know, it's there for everybody to read. So English, you can probably get it in just about any language now. But it's there, and it's in plain black and white, what their goals in life are and who their model citizen is, which is the, you know, the pedophile. But,
has been talk of reformation, isn't there? We've heard other Muslims say, we're going to try to reform it. But how many times have we heard it? It still stays the same. And the reason why it still stays as it is, and it will never change, and whatever people say about the verses of the kill the Jews and the Christians, and we know there's about 100 verses I think one of their prayers, and probably some of our listeners will know this, but when they do these prayers five times a day, a part of their prayer, Smokey, is to actually to curse the Jews and the Christians. That is a part of their prayer. Every day, every prayer, it's a part of their prayer, and they do this 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So it's ingrained in them. And whatever is said about it's never going to change. Because as I've debated with them. I used to be on Powtel, you know, going back a little while. I used to go in an Islamic room. My handle when I used to go there was Christian Strikeforce. So, you know, you knew that I was going to come at you. But I was always very polite, and it's the way that you conduct yourself is to get a dialogue and a debate going. And times I said that, well, look, there is violence. And they said, well, there's violence in the Bible. I said, yes, there is violence, but it is in the Old Testament. I said, the New Testament is what people live by today. And they said, no, we can't change it. I said, why can't you change the violence and all that and to cursing and this about the infidels and the coup? We can't do that because that that's a book, the Quran. The words was written from Allah, passed through their prophet. It can never be changed. And I've had this, you know, I had it quite a few times. So it just got a bit old in the end, using the same thing, because you get the same answer whoever you talk to, that they can't change it. And people who have tried to change it, as you know, they've come under all sorts of threat. It's not so much them, but their family have been threatened that, you know, things can happen to your family. If you keep pressing, you know, it goes against Allah's will. Something might happen to your family. Do you imagine that? How many times that's been said to them? There are people out there. There are Muslims out there who want it reformed. But they know that they'll come under violence if they try to. Anyway, sorry about that. I was getting carried away. But Smokey, good to have you here this afternoon. There is a story which I've just posted in the chat room, and Bluey, that's my other executive producer, has been a bit noisy. Sorry about this, Murray. I've got a story here. Telford child, this is the headlines, and it comes from the Daily Mirror. Telford child sex monsters handed almost 2.5 million in legal aid. Do you hear that, Smokey? £2.5 million in legal aid. And this is exclusive from the Sunday Mirror. A Sunday investigation found up to 1,000 youngsters may have been abused. We know that, but we didn't know about the legal aid thing, you know. Legal aid for Telford child sex monsters came to nearly £2.5 million. It was spent defending seven culprits who were brought to justice after a police investigation which identified a potential, listen to the figure, 200 suspects. Now, after a Sunday Mirror investigation last month found up to 1,000 youngsters may have been abused, victims are furious over the amount they say would have been better spent helping survivors. Killer Azhar Ali Mahmoud, who murdered a 16-year-old sex abuse victim, Lucy Lowe, and her mum and sister in Shropshire Town, was granted £130,000 for his defence at his 2000 trial, which ended in a life sentence. There's some pictures of Lucy. He never faced abuse charges, but almost 10 years later, a police investigation into the Telford grooming scandal was launched, which led to convictions of seven abusers in 2013. As I go down... that was Charlie just saying hello. I don't know if you heard it. Hello. They included rapist Adil Ali, whose legal aid cost £470,812. That's nearly half a million. His brother Mubarak, his was £424,228. Muhammad Islam Chowdhury, he was paid £350,000. Muhammad Ali Sultan, it was £398,205. Muhammad Yunus, £269,387. Maruf Khan, £443,732. Abdul Roof, £329,469. Walked free, but the judge ordered a child prostitution charge lie on a file. a victim rape by assault and said, I'm shocked to hear so much public money help these men. It begs the question, what could $3 million do for the survivors? Many of us have needed extensive specialist therapy. I think that's the end of that story there, Smokey. Your views there, brother. How much money was spent on these despicable caranimals?
You know, when you said the first sentence was illegal aid for child sex monsters came to nearly 2.5. You know, I was expecting over the whole 200. I didn't expect that much to be spent on just what did you name? Seven, maybe? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them, almost half a million pounds, you know, and then one of them, 130,000. So why the widespread difference in the amount that each of them were paid? I mean, the amount really is nothing. I agree with this last sentence. It begs, what could $3 million do for the survivors? The survivors are the ones out here still hurting. A lot of them, I mean, probably going to hurt for the rest of their lives over this. These guys, they don't. Trial is too good for them. I mean, they need to be shipped to Gitmo and locked up in a cage and never allowed out of that cage. But have their food thrown
out. I agree. I agree.
They don't deserve it.
I was going to say, I've got Bob Evers, who's mentioned, he's been talking about what we've been discussing here, Smokey. So he's saying easy picking for the solicitors. For the rape children, not so much. He follows on with nothing like a 12-year-old child dealing with gang rape. That makes you think, doesn't it? 12 years old, and you've got to deal with this, the nightmares, the flashbacks, for probably all your life. You're going to have to go through that. And they're paid astronomical money, the perpetrators, of these rape jihads, and these kids are still suffering. It's just beggars to believe, and it's all it says what's wrong in this country with the jury, you know, the jurisdictional part of our system. Everything, it all stinks, doesn't it, Smoke? It all stinks, buddy.
Before the story even starts, there's two little headlines. It says, couple abused three children with beatings, bitings, and even face-sucking. Then it says a girl who was 11 was pregnant 6 times in 4 years in Britain's worst child abuse scandal. I don't know if that is the Lucy Lowe that was murdered with her mom in the house fire or who that is. But, you know, just...
Yeah.
The fact that she was 11 and she'd been pregnant 6 times already. I mean, that is that is inhuman. And then,
and they covered the bastard up from it, though, didn't they? This is what got me. Yeah. It was a cover-up all the time.
Making this kind of money, I mean, they're licking their chops, saying, hey, look at all the money we're going to get. You know, defended animals. They're not humans. They're animals.
They remind me of mercenaries, the way that they treat people. It's mercenary, the money. It's all about the money, winning the case, getting these scumbags off, basically, and rubbing their hands and putting more money in their bank accounts so they can spend three, four months on the Bahamas somewhere. This is... It sickens your stomach, doesn't it, buddy? It really does.
I hope these people have kids, and their kids find out what these solicitors have been doing to get their wealth. And I hope that these kids, you know, their hearts are open, can see that. I mean, to me, it's ill-gotten gains. I don't care if everybody is afforded a defense attorney. This is crazy. Spend that kind of money. Defending animals when it can be done, you know, cheaper, most definitely cheaper. And then put that other money to good use, because that money, there's a lot better ways to spend that money than defending these pieces of vile vermin. I was going to say another word, but I'll leave that word out.
No, that's okay, mate. That's okay. You know, it's It's how we feel, smoke, you know. I don't hold back sometimes because it just really, really angers me what's going on in this country. But, you know, that's the great thing about the radio show, that we can talk about these issues. And we've got a wider world that listens as well. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, the radio show is hitting all over. And this must piss off my government over here and that, mustn't it? You know, the thing about it is, because we work on Blog Talk Radio, so, I mean, me going, you know, doing what I do, I don't come under any auspice of any ruling over here of me going on the airwaves, because I'm using the airwaves in the United States. Bless you to the United States. So
well,
there is nothing that they can do to take us off the air, buddy. They try, but they won't
do
it.
If you did this on your front porch or out by the curb, you know, on the street, you would be arrested, no doubt about it. What you're saying, what we're saying,
yeah,
on this show,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
on your, and that's it's crazy to think that that's the way the world is going to combat the evil of Islam, is by arresting people telling the truth about it. That is backwards. It is,
that,
there's nothing right about what they're doing
the,
at all.
You got it right summed up there, Smart. I've got another story here, but I was wondering, should we go for a quick break before I just need to have a quick cup of, just a drop of tea, actually. I'm so dry.
Go ahead, Jeff. Do whatever you need to do. It's your show. I'm your wingman. I'll support you 100%.
A
so
great wingman as well,
do.
Buddy. Got to say, awesome. I'm just trying to find a tune for us to play while I just have a quick drop of tea, like, you know. I'm going down here. Let me see. But it's good to see everybody in the chat room, isn't it? Good to see people in the chat room this afternoon as well. So Kel and Gary and Bob Evers, oh, good to see you all here, guys. I'm still good. I've got so many here. It's unbelievable. I'm trying to find an Alex in the band or oh no, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to let's look one up here. Templars Oath. Let's have a look at that. Templars. There you go. This is 4 minutes and 54 seconds. You know, guys, I love this, and a lot of you like it. So, this is the Templars Oath. So, Smoke, if you want to have a quick drop of coffee or something, have a bow. Here we go.
Come on.
Well, there you go. And, of course, that was the, which I think we all love that, don't we, guys? That's the Templars of the Oath. And it's beautiful, I've got to admit. You know, I like to look at the words. I like to, you know, that's what we're all about in the end. Smokey's just let me, well, he's saying in the chat, it's 2 weeks EDL Radio celebrates an anniversary on the air. I can't believe it. We'll be celebrating 6 years on a day of a demonstration, which will be May the 12th, Kelly. May the 12th. So we'll be celebrating the time that I put pen to paper and sign up for the EDL, for the radio show. So I haven't looked back since, my goodness me. But the time seems to go around so quick. And also, I'm getting some, I didn't know this. Bob's a good man. I won't say what you said, but you helped the cause, Brady. He does send donations, and you are a great gentleman. And anybody that donates to the EDL and the cause, God bless you all, you know. It's really, really appreciated. And if it wasn't for you guys, there wouldn't be us. And I've said that. And of course, what Kel was saying, it said in the chat room, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the times we live now, with our dear Kel, we've come over here and done a Lincolnshire and a Walsall demonstration. If you want to come over to the United Kingdom now, they probably know Kel, and they would probably stop her coming through. And this is what's been discussed in the chat. That's how things are. I don't know, Kel, whether that would happen or not. I would hope that you could come to your mother country any time you want without that. But unfortunately, we've had a lot of conservative thinking people have been stopped from coming through and have been held in detention over it. What was I going to do? Yeah. It would be always best to check things out, wouldn't it? You know what I'm saying? Am I back, actually? Oh, I am. For a minute, Smoke, I thought I was muted. What am I like? It was too quiet, pal. But anyway, I didn't hear you in the back. You're so quiet. You're so quiet there, Smoke, buddy.
I'm trying. Dogs were out back there. There's dogs in the back barking, so I keep them muted when I hear them going crazy. They're sitting there with their morning pillows.
I wish I could do the same with my parrots, but I can't, mate. You know, they're always noisy.
Yep.
But anyway, I've got another story that I want to share with the listeners. And let's see.
The audio started on the link I just popped on. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob. Or Jeff. You got it now.
You got to be quick.
Yep.
Yeah, that happens to me, Smoke. Got to be quick sometimes to shut it down. Just trying to close this page down. It was opening. Anyway, this comes from the Sunday Express, ladies and gentlemen. As I say, I do love this. Snubbed. Trump will not have time to meet Corbyn during the UK visit. I do like that. Well done, Mr. Donald. Donald Trump will not meet with Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn during his long-awaited visit to the UK. Whitehall officials have warned amid fears of major protests against the United States president during his brief stay in Britain. Mr. Trump will visit the UK on Friday, July the 13th, for a working visit, and hopes to meet the Queen and visit Prime Minister Theresa May at Chequers. he doesn't have to go near London. But the US, United States president will not have enough time to meet the leader of the opposition, Mr. Corbyn, during the fly visit, according to Whitehall sources. A snub to the Labour chief. I can't help it. It's funny. Mr. Corbyn previously declared he wants bold, serious discussions with the United States president regarding his problems with Mexicans and Muslims during his visit. Despite a national furor over the United States president's trip to Britain, Woody Johnson, United States ambassador to the UK, insisted Mr. Trump was very thick-skinned and will definitely visit London regardless of a national demonstration. Thousands of Britons have declared they will protest against the United States president's arrival after a Facebook page was set up to organise the demonstration. Over 36,000 protesters are expected to take part, while 102,000 people penned their interest to attend. And it has been claimed Mr. Trump could avoid London completely in a bid to shrug off planned protests and instead meet officials at Windsor Castle and Chequers. Mr. Johnson assured Mr. Trump will not be deterred from any demonstrations, claiming he knows what he wants to do. United States ambassador said he will be in NATO meetings before that, so he will come over here. I had some meetings here. Spare me, I'll go down the page. Maybe he could bring up the reason why people's children have become part of the state. I'd like him to do that. If I was going to put a question, ask me about exactly how those meetings are going to be laid out and who is going to meet with and all of this that is still on the table. He will definitely be coming to London. Mr. Johnson claimed that the United States president is not easily convinced to bypass his visit to the UK, despite the leftist, they call them, these are the leftists, the mugs, angry outcries. He added, he's very thick-skinned. He knows what he wants to do, and he speaks in a very clear and unusual way from most politicians. But I think, in the end, people are starting to realise that where he is going is a good direction. I would definitely agree with that. Mr. Trump's visit UK will include talks with Prime Minister and an overnight stay. Boris Johnson said Mr. Trump's arrival was fantastic news, but senior Labour MPs declared that they will not be afraid to challenge the United States president. They normally hide behind tables, normally. A Downing Street spokesman said he will hold bilateral talks with the Prime Minister during his visit. Further details will be set out in due course. Mr. Trump's apparent lack of time to meet Mr. Corbyn. I can't help laugh, I just think it's funny. In stark contrast to his predecessor, then Labour leader Ed Miliband was granted a meeting with previous United States President Barack Obama when he visited the UK in 2011. So I think that's the story, but I had a little smile on my face, Smoke. I can't resist it. What do you think, Smoke?
I think it's pretty funny that, you know, if Obama had his brothers, probably when he went over there, he would have met with Corbyn or, what was his name, Hildebrand? Milbrand. Probably met with him instead of Theresa May back then. But, you know, he has no obligation to meet with the Labour. I mean, he sees enough of that kind of lunacy while he's in America. I mean, he's over there to carry out business. You can't carry out business when you're listening to somebody speak foolishness like he has to over here. Over there, he ought to have a choice on who he talks to. And, you know, I'm not too much in agreement with Theresa May on anything, especially the way she's handling Brexit. She's screwing over the voters big time there. But, I mean, president's a busy man. He's got to get back to America and deal with these leftist lunatics over here. He ain't got time to deal with them over there. And I think it's funny that Corbyn, I don't know if Corbyn's upset. Corbyn should know that you know, he's not obligated to meet with him, not at all. And I support whatever decision's made. And yeah, it's funny, if he's upset, good.
That's why I always laugh, is my, at all these so-called protests. If and when Mr. Trump turns up, there's a lot of patriots in this country, and they'll be very vocal against those in opposition. And at that, I've given a shout out, yes, to all you leftist little scumbags out there who think you're going to cause problems for this this president. We'll be on the streets as well. Just remember that. You might not know who we are, but we'll know who you are. Okay, just a bit of a, you try to cause problems, you'll get problems yourself. Because you won't even know who we are, but we'll be there. So don't worry, Mr. Trump, if you're listening, he might be listening. Don't you worry, buddy, we got your back. Okay, bud? There you
and
go.
Bob says, you know, Bob in chat says the only person who is not a wacko is Farage, and he can't get in, you know, to really, you know, into the leftist, the Labor Party over there. He ought to schedule a meeting with Nigel and just have a little sit-down tea or something with Nigel. That would really set him off.
Well, you know what? I'm sure there could be a little bit of information passed between Nigel, because he is his friend, don't forget. Nigel Farage is, don't forget, he was one of the first people at Trump Tower, and he was celebrating with Nigel. Do you remember that? So he's a close friend, and I would not be surprised if that would be arranged. I'm sure it will, one way or the other, because they're very close friends. Probably more closer friends than he is with Theresa May, even though this is all protocol. It's said for this and that. But we know his true friend is, and that's Nigel Farage, isn't it, Smoke?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It would be, you know, they need to find some time or any way possible just to, you know, give him his just due too, because what Nigel's doing over there is huge. You know, it's and it can't be underestimated, the voice he's given millions of people over there. And he's you know, his thoughts on the EU and everything. He's a huge influence and a huge person who puts out knowledge. And he gets, look what the hell they treat him over there, the leftists and even the Tories don't treat him decent.
I mean, I would say, as a politician, this is the type of a politician you'd like to see, you know, running the country. Someone with, you know, a big pair of balls like a, excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen, the big balls like Donald Trump. That's what you need. Yep. I mean, the world that we live in, it can be very dangerous. And you need the right drive and the right people in place of it, and stop bending over to appease the enemies out there, which we've seen for many years, haven't we, Smoke? And that's, as you're right there, Nigel Farage. My eyes, anyway, I think... if you know, put him in charge of the country, things would definitely change, make a change for the better. But if that's ever going to happen, I don't know. Well, we'll have a revolution. We'll make it happen. hypothetically speaking, MI5, MI6, and all you lot. Because you never know who's listening to us. And we know they do listen to us. We do, and we know that they, you know, some of the newspapers report on things that we said on the radio show. Notice that on a few occasions here, Smoke. So they do listen to what we're talking about. So all those that are listening, try and stir up trouble. I'm raising my hand.
I think I've got a plane flying overhead now.
My middle finger's going up. Now you can all spin on that middle finger. There you go. It's all right. Got me done,
oh,
in it, mate,
funny.
Eh?
Yep. That's funny.
Anyway, I've got a story which was relating basically back to what we was what a theme of the show a little bit today is what we've been talking about with the little Alfie Evans there. I hope you don't mind. We should have talked about it certainly, but I didn't realise the story was further down than I thought it was, Smokey. So I'm just going to come back into the chat room to bear with me, and I'm going to post this in. And this really sums it up, with Theresa May thinking of things. Okay, I've just put that in there. This is, whether it's all true, I don't know. It just feels just about right, actually. So anyway, this is the story. This comes from the Babylon Bee, so I don't know how authentic it, but it sounds about right. Prime Minister issues friendly reminder to UK parents that the state owns their children. Okay. London. Upon the news of the High Court ordering life support removed from 2-year-old Alfie Evans, English Prime Minister Theresa May issued a brief friendly reminder to citizens of the UK that the all-powerful state actually owns their children. In the video circulated online, May informed parents who were getting a little too attached to their children that they need to keep in mind that the United Kingdom is the actual legal parent and the kids are simply on loan to them until the state decides it's time for them to die. Yes, we're gracious enough to allow your kids to reside with you and for you to make lots of the decisions in their day-to-day lives, but when the rubber meets the road, we just want you to remember that the almighty state straight up owns your kids and will do with them as we will, she said. We make all the big decisions, and you have pretty much zero to say. When it comes right down to it, just keep that in mind and stay in your place. So I don't know how true she said that or not, but it would surprise me. The Prime Minister further reminded Britons that they gave up their right to make major decisions for their household when they decided to hand over control of healthcare, social security, education, guns and free speech to the government. So, it sounds realistic, doesn't it, Sir Smoke?
Yep. Nothing in there is so outlandish that it couldn't be true. Like we said earlier, they believe it in their heads, whether they'll come right out and admit it or not. That is what they want, and that's the way they act. They don't. We have no choice.
As Kel said,
you know, we got to do what the desired leader.
Yeah, sorry about that. So I was going to say, Kel said that. Yes, it's a satire piece. But I think we knew that. But it's the way of thinking that the state does own the children. They've made that point quite obvious when they took it to the judge, and the judge made that judgment that he wasn't going to allow the parents to do what they thought was right. And it was the state and the judge's judgment that what would happen to little Alfie was down to the state. So whatever, you know, whether that's satire or not, but the truth is out there that this really does happen. And this is the most worrying aspect. And this is where changes need to be done in this country in a really quick way. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not being horrible or anything, but this could happen to your child. And what we've been seeing that's happened to Alfie and that other little lad, they don't deserve it, and nor do their families. The families have gone through hell, and then you lose your little boy when you think there could be a chance. Just that one chance, 1% chance, Smokey, any parent would take that up. And Even the Pope was involved with it as well, wasn't he, Smoke?
It wasn't going to cost the UK a cent. I mean, Italy and the Pope had sent a helicopter, was going to fly back themselves on their own dime. It wasn't going to cost them a cent, but they denied these parents that chance. And because, you
it
know,
does
if,
make
if,
this
if,
country
God
and,
forbid,
and
it would have helped
power.
Him, it would have made them look bad. But
yeah,
it's
yeah.
ridiculous
well,
that they didn't allow
well,
those parents
this way.
Every little chance. Every little chance. Go ahead, Jeff.
Smokey, you're so right, my friend. You're so right that is the case. That's all they wanted, the chance, whatever, how little it was, to take their little boy and to do what they thought was right for him. And there's people, open arms, ready to do anything they possibly could to help Alfie with his with the issues that he was having. But it makes the world look at this country and the powers be as hard-faced, isn't it? You know, unsympathetic. It makes them look hard, and basically the world's got their eyes open to what's really going on, and that case has really highlighted it. I mean, across the globe, you know, people in Australia even talking about that case, wasn't they, Smoke? But yeah, I forgot what I was going to say then. So, Smokey, as I say, we've got a few things we've done. So we've got a future demonstration coming up in a not-too-distant future, isn't it? My goodness me. It's sick
time. 2 weeks.
Time,
isn't it? Less
sick
than 2 weeks.
thinks she's a bloody... She thinks she's a duck sometimes. She's making all quacking noises, and I'm sorry about this, Leslie.
Well, it's okay. Your birds are talented. They just wanted everybody to notice them. They're some talented birds.
Yeah. Well, she's always been pretty smart. Ever since I've got, I mean, she's about, I suppose, about 15 now. Smart. But she was very clever when I picked her up. I bought her from a pet shop. She was, taking peanuts from you. A really friendly little... She keeps saying hello and put me off, Smoke.
Hello.
She makes these weird noises, cackling noises. But no, as I say, Smokey, take... Oh, God, she made me lose track. I was going to say.
Hey, well, yeah... And, you know, I just want to remind everybody that our good friend Agador, Dave Milner, will be back next weekend, next Sunday. He's maybe Thursday, I guess. But
he's supposed to be back next week.
He's back Thursday.
Yeah,
some good to hear Dave back on the air. It's been a while. I don't know how long you've been off, about a month?
The things that need to be sorted out, he's got himself another computer now, Smoke. As I say, the last show, he managed to put the slides in for me and do the script for the show. So I think things to be sorted out for him. And he's been doing his own little shows as well. So, excuse me.
Jeff says he's going to do some breathing treatments or something for himself today. So the show today, he said, would be a little shorter than normal or last week. But Jeff needs to take care of himself because what he does here is very important.
Smoke. It's just to let the our people in the chat room, Kel, the show's going to be... we're going to come down to the end of it in another quarter of an hour. And the reason is my breathing is, as you said, Smoke, I'm still out of that medication, guys, so I need to get that. And I don't be coughing and spluttering. It sounds really bad. But I've got to thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning, brother. Smokey, you've been absolutely awesome. The last two shows I've had. It's great to have you at the side and discussing different things that's going on over in this country, and of course what's going on in the United States as well, and across the wider world there, buddy.
We need to schedule you an appearance on mine and Gulf Dog show sometime in the future, Jeff. We do it on Kel's network. Kel allows us to terrorize her airwaves on the third Saturday every month, and it'd be great to have you come on and be part of it.
I'd love to. Well, I really thoroughly enjoyed it the last time I was with yourself and Ron on the last show. It was really interesting and a great show that we had. And it's always great to be, to come back with you two great guys. So I look forward to it, Smoke. Just give me an heads up, and when you want me, I'll be there, buddy.
Well, I knew I could count on you, Jeff. And I said last week, this is I really enjoy my time with you because it's requiring me to be at the show because. Since it's moved to the early morning, sometimes it just flat leaves my mind, and I'll go on there like at 11 o'clock, start looking for the show, and it's already passed. It's already over, and I really like being in this chat, with Bob. Bob is usually here almost. He's been having troubles getting up early to be here, too, but, you always have a great chat, and you and Dave really put out some great knowledge, and it's been an honor to be part of the show with you, Jeff. And I thank everybody for coming in. Their comments.
In the future, if Dave needs to take a break or anything like that, I hope that I could rely on you once again because I've really enjoyed you being my wingman over the last couple of Sundays there, buddy. So, and to come back, if you want me to come back, just give me a shout out there, buddy. It'd be a Saturday, wouldn't it? Just give me a shout out, and I'll be there with you, Ron. I'd really probably enjoy to be sitting beside you two guys.
Okay, Jeff.
So there you go. As I say, we are, 20 past now? We've still got about 10 minutes. But, Thursday, guys, hopefully we'll have Dave... joining us, and of course, hope Jan will join us this Thursday as well. And I must apologise, everybody got out of your beds today, especially in the United States and Canada. I know you was up early as well, Kel. I think Al will be our next guest. In May, so there you go. Oh, that sounds good. I think Al. That's great. I love Al.
Al didn't get to talk much with Vito. When he does,
he's great.
He's going to come on, and I think he's going to spend the whole 2 hours with us.
But yeah, as I say, I look forward to joining you and your show. But as I say, for future reference, if Dave needs to have a break or anything like that, and you'd like to come and join me on a couple of shows in the near future, you've been awesome. You've been an awesome wingman.
I'd be glad to do it. I'd be glad to do it anytime.
Okay, buddy. Okay, well, what I'm going to do, I was going to say to you, buddy, your final thought for the last couple of Sundays, your final thoughts for the last two shows that you've done, and if you want to just share that with our listeners and everybody in the chat room, I'd like to hear your thoughts there, bud. Where can people find you as well, Smoke?
Well, I'm on the Twitter at Smokey_TX, and that Smokey's with an I-E, S-M-O-K-I-E _TX. And I'm on Facebook, but I'm not going to give out my Facebook. The friends know how to find me on Facebook. But and then I do a show, like I said, on Kel's Kale of RFB and IAW. I do a show on her network, the third. Me and Ron Gulf Dogs do a show on that network the third Saturday of every month. Sometimes we'll throw up a little extra show every once in a while, but, you know, Ron just had surgery, so we're kind of taking it easy with Ron's health, letting him build himself back up.
Yeah, how is Ron doing now? Jump on me asking.
Ron is doing awesome.
How's he doing now?
He called into Usama's last night, and he was great. He was a great call on Usama's last night, so he is doing a lot better. It's always great to hear Ron talk whenever he talks, because people get us confused.
Yeah.
So anything he says that's smart, people think I'm saying it. So that's another bonus. So
no, he is.
So it's always great. And then he was
in all our thoughts and prayers, going for that surgery that he had to do, and it seems the good Lord was listening to all of our prayers, and we've got our Ron back with us all, haven't we? And that's what it's all about, pal.
And tonight, you know, tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, which is, it'll be about 3 o'clock in the morning, UK time, we're having, I have my music show tonight. It's called Time to Wind Down, and tonight our theme is 70s. So tonight we're going to play music from the 70s and commercials from the 70s. So we have a pretty good time. Bob Evers and Tree get in there and hate everything I play, but it's all in good fun, and the chat is busy. You see comments going through in the chat room that you never expect to see, and it's on Spreaker at Ideas or Bulletproof. Just do a search for Ideas or Bulletproof, and then the show is called The Wind Down, and we really enjoy it. Everybody's showing
though,
up and listening.
It's a little bit late, but I'll catch you. I'll catch you.
You can, and it's always
Hold your line, Barry Manilow. So if he's on there, if he's in your chat room, don't forget he loves his Barry Manilow. Okay, buddy?
Yep, I got one saved up for Holger in case he shows up sometime. And tonight, there is some Barry Manilow on the show. There is some Barry Manilow on the show, about 6 minutes of him, so Kel will be happy.
And Kel's been making some little comments there. This will be a great show, she says. I think Tree sweet on him. Sometimes
Tree does not know how to act without Bob being there to back her up, so she is a different person when Bob's
not around.
Bob missed last week's show. Yep.
Absolutely.
So, we always have a good time in there. They're picking on me for my music.
In the chat room. And Kel, we've got all people.
Yep. Ag makes us always sends in at least one ELO song and a NABBA song. And I make sure I play a Rush song every week. So, I'm guaranteed that, you know, a few songs that people are not going to like. But I don't care. I mean, it's all in good fun. We had a... Yeah. Last show was, I think.
You know,
look here, go. Look at that.
That wasn't meant to happen. I hit the button. God damn the list. I hit the button. No, not yet. Smokey and everybody in the chat. I can't help it, Mark. Just made myself laugh there. Fancy, I'll go down the page and hit the button by mistake. Did you ever do that before?
Yep. When you're finding your tune and it started up on accident. Yep. It happens all the time.
Smokey, buddy, Brian, you've been awesome, pal, today. As I say, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that we would have had it another half hour for the show, but I really need to have a cup of tea, and I'm still a little bit chest, as you probably realise. Hopefully, I'll have that sorted out by next Thursday. So, Smokey, and to everybody in the chat room, do you know what I was going to let you know, guys? When I was looking at the map of people that listen to the shows and that, we've got we've got listeners, it's 1.13% in Malaysia and 1.13% in Australia. So Malaysia and Australia is quite close to one another, is it? Well, Mr. Crow flies, I suppose, but it's good to see that we got listeners that listen to us right the way across this planet. This is why we love internet radio, isn't it, Smoke Buddy? That's why we love internet radio.
Oh, yeah. It just surprises me every time that when you get listeners from around the world, it's an amazing thing, the internet and the ability that, you know, it gives us to reach that far and that easy. And
it's nice to know that we've got that message. A lot of people live under, you know, all sorts of the same similar problems we've got, to know that they're never by themselves, that we do understand and we are with them. We're the people for the people, aren't we, Smoke? But anyway,
yes.
Once again, thank you, Smokey. And everybody in the chat room, Akel, Bob Evers, let me just come down there and see if anybody else is coming. Gary Kemp, as always, see you, Gary. As I say, and to anybody that's come and gone, God bless you guys. So with that, for myself and, of course, Smokey, this is the big... I've lost it now. Oh, Charlie, stop it. You're putting me off. Okay. One thing I will say, ladies and gentlemen, foot soldiers, angels, whatever you might be, whatever you're doing. Okay, I've got to go underground, sorry. Be vigilant and no surrender. Here we go.
No surrender ever.
No surrender ever. Be vigilant out there, guys.
Say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your fight brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My nuclear test was far from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as they hate me, I've done enough for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets.
We are right out of time of the show this afternoon, the English Defence League radio show. But you know what, guys? We'll be back again this Thursday. So hopefully we'll have Jan be joining us, and Dave Agador will be joining us. But once again, I've got to thank Smokey, who's done an absolutely awesome job over the last two Sundays, standing in, doing my wig, man. So a great kudos to you, buddy, and thank you so much. So with that, this, ladies and gentlemen, foot soldiers, angels, this is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for this afternoon, and saying, we'll see you this Thursday. And please, please, be vigilant out there. Okay, guys, whatever you're doing, please be vigilant. No surrender. No surrender ever.